Bow hunters are some of the hardest working hunters there are. Most of us work hard all year long just to get a couple weekends or burn our vacation time to sit in a tree. And just like the American blue collar worker, we're trying to balance work, family, faith, and a little time for ourselves in the great outdoors. Now let me introduce you to Trollco Clothing, a brand built by blue collar workers for blue collar workers. Workwear, comfortable tees, hoodies and hats for both men and women, Trollco represents the hardworking American. So whether you're operating heavy equipment, wrenching on engines, or in a factory living that shift life, Trollco has your back, literally. Head to trollco.com/hunting. That's trollco.com/hunting and enter the discount code Empire25 for 25% off of your first order. Trollco, for the hardworking American. This time of year, you're going to find me jigging for crappies off my father-in-law's boat, celebrating a successful turkey hunt, or just sitting on the back deck watching time go by with a quality cigar from Thompson Cigar. Thompson Cigar has been around since 1915, offering the widest array of cigars and cigar accessories at very affordable prices. Thompson Cigar offers your favorite brands like Swisher Sweets, Cohiba, Backwoods, and Monte Cristo shipped fresh directly to your door. Also, be sure to check out their 5-pack fever deals and join their value club for big savings. Visit thompsoncigar.com and enter the discount code SE at checkout for 20% off of all orders over $75. Thompson Cigar, quality cigars at affordable prices. You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network, brought to you by Full Sneak Gear. Check out their entire lineup at fullsneakgear.com. Also, be sure to check out our entire stable of podcasts at sportsmansempire.com. This episode of the Sportsman's Empire is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. Since 1952, Interstate Batteries has been evoking compassion and a trustworthy spirit into the surrounding communities. Interstate Batteries is a mission-driven company fueled by purpose and guided by their values. If you need help locating a specific battery, stop into your local Interstate Batteries retail store and speak with a battery specialist. They even offer cell phone repairs. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable.
We're leaving today and entering a world of Mickey Mouse waving, princess meeting and greeting,
lightsaber clashing,
the Twilight Zone Tower of Terror dropping,
banshee flying,
space mountain launching,
galaxy rewinding,
what the network galaxy rewinding,
fireworks igniting, world of other worlds, for whatever you love, infinite worlds await at the most magical place on Earth, Walt Disney World Resort.
Two Good & Co. coffee creamers are made with farm-fresh cream, real milk, and contain 3 grams of sugar per serving. That's 40% less than the 5 grams per serving in leading traditional coffee creamers for a rich, delicious experience. Whether you enjoy your coffee hot, cold, bold, or frothy, Two Good coffee creamers make every sip a good one. Two Good coffee creamers, real goodness in every sip. Find them at your local Kroger in the creamer aisle.
Spring break isn't what it used to be. It's better. This spring, stay 3 nights and get a $50 Best Western gift card. Life's a trip. Make the most of it at Best Western. Visit bestwestern.com for complete terms and conditions.
You're listening to The Western Rookie, a hunting podcast full of tips, tricks, and strategies from seasoned Western hunters. There are plenty of opportunities out there. We just need to learn how to take on the challenges.
Hunting is completely different up there.
I harvested 26 big game animals.
You can fool their eyes, but you can't fool their nose.
300 yards back to the road turned into 3 miles back the other way.
It's always cool seeing new hunters go and harvest an animal.
I don't know what to expect.
If there's anybody I want in the woods with me, it'll be you.
Welcome back to another Western Rookie Podcast episode brought to you by Go Hunt. We have some breaking news for public lands and Western hunting. This is probably the biggest development when it comes to Western hunting that I've ever lived through. so far. And so the what we're going to be talking about today is corner crossing. Now, there was just recently a major, major update in the case, and we are going to cover that, what it means for all of us. But first, we're going to dive into, you know, this entire topic. What are we talking about? So in 2020, a group of four Missouri hunters traveled out to Wyoming in Carbon County to go hunting. And if you don't know, a lot of the West is checkerboarded. We see it on our maps. We see it on Go Hunt. We have a lot of access issues. Now, up until 2020 and 2021, there's never been clear precedent on whether it's legal to hop from one corner of public to the adjacent corner of public without stepping foot on either of the private parcels in between, like a checkerboard. Can you go from red to red without violating any laws? And no one knew for a long time. In 2020, this group of hunters came out to Wyoming to hunt, and the next year they went back in 2021 and they brought a ladder. Now, this ladder they put from corner to corner so they could climb up and over and back down, guaranteeing they did not step on the private land. However, the land in question on either side was part of Iron Bar Holdings. This is a company who owns the Elk Mountain Ranch in Carbon County, Wyoming, owned by a billionaire out of North Carolina, I believe. Let me look it up. I believe its name is, North Carolina billionaire named Fred Eshelman. So when the Iron Bar Holdings and the Elk Mountain Ranch found out what this group of hunters were doing, they tried to harass them out. So they first called Game and Fish and the Sheriff's Department. They came out. They told them that there's nothing illegal going on. They told the landowner there's nothing illegal going on. They called again with a different law enforcement agency, said nothing was going on. Finally, they tried a third time. They called I don't know which law enforcement agency it was, with the that agent came out with the instructions to give them a ticket. They gave them a ticket for $750 of trespass. So this started the drama. So they went to court. We're going to get into all that. But first, a lot of people might be wondering whose great idea it was to come up with these corner crossing or these checkerboard maps, right? It's super annoying. We deal with it when we went out antelope hunting in Wyoming last year. It's super annoying, and not a lot of people, I believe, understand why we got this way. It looks like the silliest thing ever, and I agree. It definitely is a silly thing. Before we dive into the case and what's happened with these four hunters, let's dive into how we got here, because this is a problem that has been brewing for 160 years, and we are finally now addressing it when it comes to hunting. So, in the 1860s, when the U.S. government decided that they needed a transcontinental railroad, they passed the Pacific Railway Act of 1862, which allowed massive amounts of land to go to the railroad as an incentive for the railroads to keep building their rail all the way to the West. We wanted to connect the East and the West. We wanted an efficient mode of travel and transportation. And I think you can make a pretty good case that that was instrumental in building America, the railway. However, here's what they did. For every mile of rail that the railroad companies built, they were granted 10 square miles of land on either side of the track. Now, what the government did in order to offset the value that they gave to the railroads, they wanted to give every other section of land to the railroad. They wanted to keep the separate ones. So they gave the odd-numbered sections to the railroad. They kept the even-numbered sections. What the government thought in 1860s was going to happen was that the value of the land was going to go up because of the railroad being implemented and people traveling across these corridors. And what they were going to do was eventually sell off the part... Having the right tool for the job can make all the difference in the world, and that applies for Western hunts too, especially if you're coming from the Midwest like myself, because if you don't have it, there's no going home to get it. And that's why many of us Western hunters are also gear junkies, and the same is true for the folks over at Go Hunt. They have built the Go Hunt gear shop to be jam-packed full of the best, highest quality gear needed for your Western hunt. They try out everything that gets into the shop, and if they don't like it or they don't use it, it doesn't make the cut. So if you need something for your next trip, Go Hunt has something for you in the gear shop. They've got everything from optics, gear, camping accessories, apparel, footwear. They've got packs, and they've got some of the best brands in the industry. So if you're in the market for some new gear, consider checking out the Go Hunt gear shop. They're an avid supporter of the outdoors. They are supporters of this podcast, and most importantly, they're supporters of you. They want to help you be more successful in the West, so there's no better place to shop for gear, information, and knowledge than Go Hunt. And if you use the code WESTERN when you check out, you're going to get 10% off most of the regular priced items in the shop. So head over to GoHunt.com, get the gear you need, use the code WESTERN, and get the right tool for the job this fall. They kept at a higher value to offset the loss of giving it up. Basically, they wanted land prices to double so they could sell one square or one section for the price of two and cover the entire cost of the project or the entire cost of giving up the land to the railroad companies. Well, that never happened. The railroad companies eventually sold off all of their private land that the government gave them because they had no use for it after the rail was built. These sections of land are in the plains and the desert region of the West. And sometimes there was value, economic value around certain cities and whatnot. And so people developed that land, of course, but the railroads don't own any of that private land anymore. That is all, virtually all of it's been sold to private land owners in various states. Now, here's the kicker is the public land, the part that the federal government kept, never, in a lot of areas, never amounted to any value. No one ever bought it. The government never sold it. And they transferred a lot of it into BLM, the Federal Bureau of Land Management. Now that it's there, we have this checkerboard map. All right, what's the problem? Okay, well, the problem is that private land ownership in the West has grown around these regions. So you'll have a swath of checkerboard surrounded by private land. And it essentially creates a landlocked area where you cannot access these public lands in the middle. We all know about these landlocked areas, but that's how the checkerboard maps came to be, is from building out the Transcontinental Railroad. You could argue, was it a good idea or not? I don't know. I wasn't around in the 60s. I didn't face the problems we faced back then. I think everyone agrees that having the railroad was a major part of the American westward expansion in our country. It's incredibly cheap to move large things from border to border because of our railroads. So I think that part of it was great. The checkerboard strategy just didn't play out the way the government thought. So that being said, in 1860s, we had no idea the value of public lands. The government wasn't planning on making these public forever. They're planning on selling them, and it was all going to be private, which none of us would be able to hunt anyway come 2025. However, the plan didn't really work. Now it's public land. Now we want that public land. We want to be able to access it, and we want to be able to hunt it and recreate on it. And so now we have this problem that we created for ourselves 160 years ago. So that is how we got to checkerboard areas. From 1862, or whenever the land was transferred to the BLM, until 2021, no one knew if it was legal to cross these borders. Landowners would build fencing and try to keep people out of these areas. And we'll talk about a couple of those cases that came along. Public landowners thought we should be able to step from corner to corner. No one really knew until this group of four hunters from Missouri. We know who they are. Brad Cape, Zach Smith, Philip Yemens, and John Slowensky traveled to Carvin County, Wyoming to hunt on public land. They used GPS tools to make sure they knew where they thought the borders were, and they used that ladder to cross from one BLM parcel to another without stepping on the private land, in this case owned by Iron Bar Holdings. So that's what happened. Eventually, when they got issued a ticket, they went to state court in Wyoming in 2022 under a criminal trespass law. The jury heard all the evidence, GPS data, ladder usage, property lines, and they voted, or I guess I don't know what the term is when a jury decides, they decided in favor of the hunters, not guilty. So on the same day that the hunters were acquitted, Iron Bar Holdings filed a civil lawsuit case claiming that the hunters had diminished the value of their property by accessing land that had been functionally private. Functionally private meaning Iron Bar Holdings controlled all of the private land around this public sector and probably had grazing rights on the public. And so therefore, they were keeping everybody out and they controlled that whole entire area of land. They claimed in their civil lawsuit that because the hunters have crossed over from one BLM to the other and invaded the airspace above the private land, that they had caused said damages. What I think is ridiculous, they wanted $7.75 million in damages. Now, we all know that when you swing a leg across the airspace of the corner of a parcel, you're not causing any physical damage at all. Personally, my opinion, I think they wanted a set of precedents and they wanted to make sure no one else did it again, because they knew that if hunters were crossing these fences and going from public to public, there would be more public usage of these lands that the ranching community doesn't want. So they went to a federal civil court in order to try this case. Now, in the federal court, the question at the heart of the case is, can a person lawfully pass through the airspace above private land if they're stepping from one piece of public land to another at a shared corner? So, in May of 2023, the U.S. District Court in Wyoming ruled again in favor of the hunters, and the judge pointed out to a little-known law called the Unlawful Enclosures Act of 1885. Again, super old precedent, 140 years old, but the old statute meant to stop cattle barons and landowners from fencing off access to public land. So back in 1885, landowners were putting up fences on their private that completely encapsulated all of the public around them at these corner crossings and essentially making a fence to keep people from accessing public land. In 1885, the court says you cannot block access to public land, and if someone doesn't physically touch your property, you can't claim they trespassed. This was a big deal back a long time ago in 1885. So, when that happened, this federal court used this precedence to again side with the hunters. Now, here's where the case, so at this point, it would be a Wyoming issue, right? So far, we've tried criminally in Wyoming and it didn't pass. We tried civilly in Wyoming at a federal court level, but inside the state of Wyoming, and it again did not pass, or they again favored inside of the hunters. What makes it interesting is that the Iron Bar Holdings Ranch did not back down. They appealed the decision to a higher court, the 10th Circuit Court of Appeals, which hears cases from Wyoming and five other states: Wyoming, Colorado, Utah, New Mexico, Kansas, and Oklahoma. So in this case, the Iron Bar Holdings was trying to use a precedent from 19, let me look it up here so I give you guys some accurate. Hey folks, I've been hunting out of Booner panel blinds by Maverick for years now. And one of my favorite things about the Booner blinds and all of Maverick's hunting blinds is how easy they are to set up. I recently set up two new blinds this last season, and I had both blinds set up by myself without any heavy equipment. You can carry each panel of your blind to the top of your platform and set it up by yourself in a single day. The best part about Maverick hunting blinds is that you get the all-weather comfort and scent control benefits of a hard-sided blind at a fraction of the cost. I mean, you can literally get three Maverick hunting blinds for the same price as some of the other options on the market, meaning you get triple the options when it comes to picking where you want to hunt, so you can be in the right stand when that big buck walks out this fall. Click the link below and head over to maverickhunting.com and use the code WESTERNROOKIE, that's one word, WESTERNROOKIE, to save 10% on your next blind. All right, found it. The main legal argument in the case was about whether or not the 1885 law called Unlawful Enclosures Act that was previously used should apply in this case. That law prohibits anyone from preventing or obstructing the free passage or transit over or through the public lands by force, threats, intimidation, or by any fencing or enclosure. So that's what the civil federal case was based on. Now we're up at the appeal at the 10th Circuit Court. Iron Bars lawyers argued that this law should not apply and that they cited that the 1979 Supreme Court decision in which the court ruled that the government could not build a permanent road through private property so that public could access a piece of public land should apply. Iron Bar argued that in the same way, they should not be required to allow access through their airspace so members of the public can access the public property. I'm not a judge. I'm not a lawyer. I don't know precedent in case law, but to me, these two don't really seem the same. So the 1979 case proved that the federal government can't build a road through your private land, which is physical damage. And they're trying to say that also applies to airspace of like passing a foot through the airspace. So to me, that one didn't really make sense. However, the 10th Circuit judges pointed out that the Leo Sheep case in 1979 only applies in the case of an implied easement, which is a permanent physical intrusion of the private property, in this case, the road. In this situation on the Elk Mountain Ranch, a different standard should apply, one that was outlined in an 1897 Supreme Court decision called Camfield versus the United States. In the Camfield versus the United States case, the court held that Congress passed the Unlawful Enclosures Act to protect public lands from nuisances erected on the adjoining private properties. In the Camfield case, a rancher built fences to secure exclusive use of about 20,000 acres of public land. So that's what happened back long ago in 1897 when the landowners tried to basically build a fence around about 20,000 acres of public land across their private adjoining boundaries. So the 10th Circuit in the Wyoming corner crossing case found that Camfield is a far closer precedence and analog to this case than the Leo Sheep case of 1979. Lots of dates. I apologize. This is why I wanted to break it down so it's understandable for everyone. So the 10th Circuit judges wrote in this case that a barrier to access, even a civil trespass action, becomes an abatable federal nuisance in the checkerboard In this case, the judges wrote that a barrier to access, even for civil trespass actions, becomes an abatable federal nuisance, which I think means a crime or something that you can is illegal at a federal level, in the checkerboard area when its effect is to enclose public lands by completely preventing access for a lawful purpose. And they continued on by saying, the controlling principle is that the checkerboard landowners cannot maintain a barrier that has the effect of fully enclosing public lands and preventing complete access for lawful purposes. When a landowner denies checkerboard access, he imposes a prosecribal, I don't know what a prosecribal nuisance is. I think it's supposed to be prosecutable nuisance under federal law. I don't know. I've never seen that word before. However, so what this means is because they tried it at a 10th Circuit court that controls the area of Wyoming, Colorado, Utah, New Mexico, Kansas, and Oklahoma, those six states, it now means that there is a precedent for corner crossing being legal in all six of those states, which is huge because there's roughly 9.52 million acres of landlocked public in the West that we cannot access. And when you look at the states, out of the states that are picked, Colorado has 269,000 acres. Wyoming has 3 million. Utah has 264,000. New Mexico is not on this list. Oh, they are on this list. Where are they? New Mexico, 500,000 acres. Kansas, where's Kansas? Kansas is not on this list. That's the one that's not on this list. And Oklahoma is not on this list. But on the list of 9.52 million acres of landlocked public, this case just applied to 4 million acres that are now potentially open because of this precedence that has been set. This is monumental, folks. Like, this is a huge, huge change in public lands. The biggest fight that we've won for public lands in a long, long time. So what does this mean? Well, now the states that are affected, this may not be over. Iron Bar Holdings can appeal to the Supreme Court. I'm not an expert. I'm not a legal expert. Maybe there's an legal expert listening in. And if there is, love to have you on the podcast and hear more about it. I believe if they appeal to the Supreme Court can decide if they want to hear the case. But if they do, whatever the Supreme Court decides will be precedent across the entire country. I believe that's how it would work. And so the risk is that if Iron Bar Ranch keeps pushing this and keeps losing, they could keep allowing more and more access for us to do this. Or they could leave it be. I'm not quite sure. So the other states that are not affected by this, the big ones would be Montana and Nevada. There's about 3.5 million additional acres in Nevada and Montana that are affected by landlocked public. These other states that aren't affected by it, the Dakotas, Idaho, Montana, Nevada, Oregon, California, Arizona, these states might start to look at whether or not they want to make any actions about whether or not, or any statements on whether or not corner crossing is legal. Another thing that could happen is the legislatures in states in the U.S. Congress could write laws about this. That could also change the outcome. But for now, as of March of 2025, the 10th Circuit Court of Appeals made the decision that you cannot count airspace as civil trespass. And a lower court determined that it's not criminal trespass in Wyoming. So very exciting news right now for public land users. If you're going to plan on a hunt on these and you don't want to get charged for trespass, you have to do your homework. You have to have very clear GPS data. And so far, the law states that you need to use the corner pin, the monument, the little pin that the surveyors put on these parcels, not Onyx, because it might Onyx and Go Hunt and all these other apps might not be quite accurate enough. So keep in mind on that. The other thing you want to keep in mind on is all of these agencies that are working to help advocate for public lands, namely BHA, keep supporting these agencies. Backcountry Hunters and Anglers has done a ton. Teddy Roosevelt Conservation Partnerships have done a lot of support for this group and in these cases and finding lawyers and helping defense. So you have to keep, that's why these groups are there. And that's why we need to keep supporting all these groups. And then lastly, the one thing that I want to make sure I touch on, this case is going to cause some strife between especially public land users and landowners. And a lot of that might be non-residents and ranchers. And so while it now appears to be legal for the time being, I don't advocate for pressing the issue or rubbing salt in the wound. We still need to work together with landowners on a lot of topics. And landowners may not feel great about the way this one shook out. And so don't make sure to not make things worse when you're out there attempting to corner cross legally. So what you can't do is there should not be a fence that protects the corner. But if there is, I don't advise climbing the fence because that would be a physical damage. Just treat the landowners with respect and recognize that they have a stake in this too. They have interests as well. They have a livelihood to protect. They have a family to feed. And so don't do anything that's going to aggravate the situation even more, because that's not going to be helpful. But it is encouraging to see that hopefully corner crossing stays legal for now in these six states, maybe even expands to the rest of the country. But super big news. Wanted to do a podcast about it and share that it's out there and that people can start looking at their e-scouting a little bit differently. Like if I'm looking at Onyx or Go Hunt right now, specifically, I've got Go Hunt maps loaded up. We've got some hunts coming up that have a lot of checkerboard in the area. When I was doing our antelope e-scouting and picking units, I specifically didn't pick a couple units that I thought might be good because of the corner crossing situation. So there's some units in Wyoming that I would have looked at hard to draw for antelope, but they were almost entirely checkerboard, and I just didn't have a great feeling about whether or not I wanted to hunt the checkerboard areas and corner cross. That's basically as simple as that. I wasn't quite confident about this case last year in 2024, and had this ruling came out, I probably would have looked at it a little bit differently. And I might have applied for some of these units that I didn't apply for. So keep that in mind as you're doing your e-scouting. So right now, Wyoming has the largest area of checkerboard. And you can kind of see there's a huge checkerboard swath basically right around I-80. Is it I-80? Keeps getting smaller on me. I-80, yeah. Where I-80 goes through southern Wyoming is a huge swath of checkerboard land. That can be very frustrating to draw in if you draw one of those units until now. So definitely changes how things are potentially looking. There's a lot of checkerboard in Montana as well, especially eastern Montana. Lots and lots of acres of checkerboard over there. So one thing that I will be very interested in following is whether or not Montana decides to take any actions, you know, proactively out of in regards to the outcome of the case in Wyoming in the 10th district. So super, super exciting stuff coming out of this case. I'm very excited to see what the ramifications are long term and whether or not we're able to do this. But I wanted to do this. I don't know if we're going to call it a press release. This is the first time we've done a press release. Hopefully people like it. Write in, let us know. Do you want to hear more of these major breaking news stories that are coming out of the West and in these quick one-hitter podcast episodes. So write in, let us know what you think of this. But for now, thanks for listening and have a great day, folks. Get your applications in. Talk to you later.
Close your eyes, exhale, feel your body relax, and let go of whatever you're carrying today.
Well, I'm letting go of the worry that I wouldn't get my new contacts in time for this class. I got them delivered free from 1-800-CONTACTS. Oh my gosh, they're so fast.
And breathe.
Oh, sorry. I almost couldn't breathe when I saw the discount they gave me on my first order. Oh, sorry. Namaste.
Visit 1-800-CONTACTS.com today to save on your first order.
1-800-CONTACTS.
My dad taught me a lot, including how easy it is to forget to cancel things. So I downloaded Experian, my BFF, big financial friend. Experian could help me cancel my unused subscriptions and lower my bills, saving me hundreds a year. Get started with the Experian app today. Your big financial friend's here to help you save smarter. Results will vary. Not all bills or subscriptions eligible. Savings not guaranteed. $631 a year. Average savings with one plus negotiations and one plus cancellations. Paid membership with connected payment account required. See Experian.com for details. Experian.
I saw this app.
I got a hit.
In the new limited series, DTF St. Louis, Jason Bateman, David Harbour, and Linda Cardellini star as three suburbanites who spice up their love lives.
Wow.
Don't miss the new HBO original limited series, DTF St. Louis, premiering March 1st on HBO Max.
Ready to relax in your dream bath retreat without the stress of figuring out every detail yourself? At the Home Depot, your bath upgrade is covered. Shop fully designed rooms and curated bath collections to go from inspiration to transformation fast. Savings of up to 40% will make it easier on your budget. And find everything you need, from tubs to toilets and all the tile in between, to bring your vision to life. The Home Depot. Dream baths built here.
You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network, and this episode is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. For all of your battery needs, visit your local Interstate Batteries retail store. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable.